Republicans have been in control of the House for the past 10 years, and in 1995, the new GOP majority raised the curtain on a remarkable show of ambition, determined to implement a far-reaching agenda it called the Contract with America. 10 years later, the contract has a mixed legacy, as NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
In the fall of 1994, Republican candidates for Congress assembled on the Capitol steps to put their names on a document, one they promised would end business as usual in Washington. Their leader, Congressman Newt Gingrich of Georgia.
Today on these steps, we offer this contract as a first step towards renewing American civilization. I'm going to sign the contract now as the last member to do so on behalf of the Republican Conference.
House Republicans won their first majority in 40 years in that election, and they elected Gingrich Speaker. Today, a portrait of Gingrich hangs outside the House chamber in what's known as the Speaker's Lobby. Prominent in his hand is a piece of paper labeled Contract with America. Gingrich himself is gone from the House, and the Contract with America has largely faded from view as well. Congressman Ray LaHood of Illinois was one of the few Republicans running in 1994 not to sign the contract, but he believes it worked.
The Contract with America was probably one of the strongest agendas put forth by a new majority party. I don't know if it may be too dramatic to say in the history of the Congress, but it was a very dramatic agenda for a new majority.
The ideas in the contract weren't all that new. Proposals for welfare reform, a balanced federal budget, and term limits had been part of the Republican agenda for years. Former House Republican leader Dick Armey says the conceit of the contract was gathering these disparate ideas together.
The notion being that we would say to the American people, we're not running on platforms or false promises or vague promises. We will give you 10 very specific items in the contract with the commitment that they will be voted on in 100 days.
Congresswoman Sue Myrick of North Carolina was part of the class of 1994. She says the Contract with America helped bind together that year's 73 new Republican members.
We got to know each other very well, and when you look back on it, it was grueling, and we said we'd kill whoever did it again, but it was a good experience from the standpoint of accomplishment.
The contract had some big ideas, a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced budget, overturning decades of welfare policy. It turns out, says Republican Congressman Rob Portman of Ohio, that for all the attention the contract received, most voters were oblivious to it.
Very few Americans knew what was in the contract. And so many of us, you know, touted the contract as an important development and attributed our majority success to that. But folks, honestly, probably didn't vote for us because of the specifics in the contract as much as the fact that we were for change and generally positive change.
Republicans vowed to approve the measures contained in the contract in the first 100 days of the 104th Congress, and they did, at least in the House. But the cost was high, a grueling schedule that resulted in all-night sessions, kept members from their families, and exacerbated partisan tensions. David Bonnier was then part of the Democratic leadership in the House. Now a professor of labor law at Wayne State University in Michigan, Bonnier remains a harsh critic.
The score sheet on the Contract for America, or on America, as many Democrats like to say, in terms of success, was relatively mild. I would say most of what they advocated did not happen. What they ended up doing is dismantling programs that were very important for workers, and as a result of that, I think we've seen them leave the American people with a huge bill for their tax cuts and their huge defense spending, which of course they were successful in enacting over the years.
The most successful component in the contract was arguably welfare reform, which President Clinton eventually signed. Lawmakers also approved a $500 per child income tax credit, which has since been doubled, and they increased defense spending. But other parts of the agenda were harder to achieve. The balanced budget amendment, though approved by the House, came up short in the Senate, and the deficit is now higher than ever. The issue of term limits has largely been forgotten. Former Majority Leader Armey says the contract's biggest legacy may be the continued Republican majority in Congress, but he doubts it would work again.
It really was, I think, a unique situation. It was like a moment that was recognized and seized that probably only comes once in a lifetime.
What may have helped Republicans as much, if not more, than the contract, though, was running against 40 years of an entrenched Democratic majority. Now the Democrats find themselves on the outs, and they can only hope that voters will grow weary of more than a decade of Republican rule in the next election. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.